Well, good morning, Grace. What a great morning. I'm glad you guys got the second service. First service, we didn't have any heat in here. It was definitely air-conditioned, and we were feeling it. And one of our gentlemen climbed up on the roof and fixed it, which is great. He said, I was going to shout down from the rooftop, this is God. And so we're working on his delusions of grandeur right now. Or he's working through that. This morning, we're going to continue in our series. Our series called, It's the Least I Can Do. Today, I want to talk to you about, let me take it off your hands. And in that, you'll understand a little bit more as we go through this. My wife has a couple of shows that she loves to watch on TV. One of them is Clean House. Absolutely loves that movie, Clean House. She likes to see other people that have messier houses so that we can feel good. No, our house is actually very, very, very... In fact, she loves this. Easy now. Wow. She's up here saying amen. Everybody else is going, you need to get into the spirit of what's happening here. I'm gonna be sleeping in this old house. It's amazing to watch what some people will let their houses become. It's kind of scary. One of the other ones is a show called Hoarders. Have you ever seen that? It blows my mind what people have in their house and they collect. And they don't even know it's there. You ever see that? And they start going through it. Oh, we're going to have to sell some stuff here. And they say, oh, no. I can't get rid of it. Wait, what is that? And they don't even know. My wife likes to do that. She likes to go through my stuff. Did you know you even had this? You don't even know you had this. In fact, I saw one Sunday after the mom-to-mom sale, a gentleman in our church wearing a sweater. I said, that's a really nice sweater. I have one. And he said, had one. Just like that. My wife sold my sweater. So God bless you, brother, that you have my sweater. Hoarders. Hoarders are people who just have to have it. Just have to have it. It's mine. I got to have it. I went to an auction this summer at an estate sale, and they were selling, a gal had died, and they were selling everything she had, her entire estate. Her husband had died a couple years before, and I went because they had everything you can imagine and things she had probably no idea she even had. I mean, there were cars and SUVs and everything in the garage, sporting equipment, guns that fired, guns that didn't fire, records, and I mean, there was just things there you wouldn't even believe that people have. I got me a couple pair of cowboy boots. I went outside, and there was this giant hay wagon. And the hay wagon was stacked about that deep with boxes, little boxes. And the whole thing was filled, thousands and thousands of these little boxes. And I had to have me some of those little boxes. I'm not a hoarder. At least I don't think I'm a hoarder. But I had to have me some of these in their precious moments. And people were bidding on these. And they weren't selling them one at a time. I saw this one right here. And I had to have this one. I had to, but they wouldn't sell it individually. So you had to go put it in a stack and then bid on this stack. And it took all day to sell these stacks. There were so many. And there were guys buying them. In fact, one guy, he bought about 2,000 of them. I said, what are you buying these for? He says, my daughter's getting married. I'm giving every guest at the wedding a precious moment. For the price, it was definitely cheaper than the wedding. And I said, I just have to bid on this pallet. I just need this group. I don't care about the rest of them, but I have to have this one. It's a little soldier boy with his hat on and a little soldier duffel bag and says, bless those who serve their country. I said, I have to have that one. And I'll pay whatever I have to pay to get it. The box is marked $32.50. I got it for $1.80. Because you see, hoarders hoard things up and they don't even realize they have it. And in fact, most of these boxes have never been opened. I have one right here that says, may your every wish come true. And it's a little girl with a little party hat, a little cute little girl, blowing out a candle as the cake is being blown right off the table. And I'm sure it's never even been opened. I promise you it's never, nope. In fact, everything's right there. And it's just never been opened. And that's the one thing about hoarders. The box is marked $50. $50. There were thousands of these. I have one at the house that's marked $80. Oh, that is. Look at that. Who said that? You did. Here, sir, I'm going to give this to you right there. There you go. God bless you. That's a precious moment. I'll get you the box, too. Just be very careful with that. Cost me $50. It cost someone $50. It cost me a couple dollars, and it cost you absolutely nothing. I just wanted you to have a precious moment today. Because in our lives, we tend to hoard things up, and we tend to grab on things that we don't need, and we don't even know what to do with. And we end up with all this stuff in our lives. And I guarantee you, I hope that blessed you. I say get it and bless someone with it. Give it away. You see, it's the least I can do. Because you have a guy in the Bible by the name of Achan. And this poor guy, he's going along in his life and he decides to hoard things up in his life. He decides to grab a hold of things and he gets a hold of this stuff. And he gets it, he takes it, and God says, what are you doing? He says, I just had to have it. He goes, no, you didn't have to have it. He goes, I had to have it and now it's mine. And we get into a mentality where it's mine. It's a whole different kind of thinking. And this morning, it's all about giving. Because here it is, in the church, they talk about giving, the tithe. If you go to any kind of church, you'll hear this, that God says, I'd like you to tithe. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means to give 10%. Well, I'm not going to give 10%. It's mine. Why would I give the church anything that's mine? And we tend to, like Achan, grab the devoted things and we get into a mentality. This morning, I want to let you know, the sermon title is very clear. Let me take it off your hands. It's the least I can do. Now, you'll understand that because I want to share three scriptures with you this morning to move you from a place of, and are you ready for this? The top three concerns, the most stressful things that we face in America, in the top three, if not at the top, it's always there, is money. It's always there. People are stressed out about it. They're worried. And they get into that place. Can I tell you something? The more you have, the more stress that you possibly could have in your life. And I want to set you free from that this morning. Not that you give me your stuff. That's not the point. I don't need your stress. But to set you free to have a precious moment. See, Jesus said, if you follow me, and if you have faith, what you've seen in my life, even greater things will you have in your life. You will do great things. I want you, as an individual, as a person, to understand when Jesus said, there are greater things in our lives, I want you to move into that. And I see so many people that are stressed out. Oh, we live in Michigan. It's a stressful place. We live in St. Clair County and Sanilac County in this area, and it's just such a stressful place. Can I tell you, it's time to let it go. Let me take it off your hands. It's the least I can do. And so we go into the story of Achan, and I want to share three scriptures to help you have a precious moment time in your life. The first one is this. I love this verse. If you look up here, it's Matthew 6:19. Matthew 6:19, Jesus. You know, it's funny, we have this, some executive from CBS said, hey, I've got a great idea for a show. Let's do something on hoarders. It's brand new. Well, actually, Jesus addressed hoarders 2,000 years ago. He said, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Jesus talked about hoarding. He says, don't hoard. Don't grab a hold of these things. And you look at poor Achan. Achan grabs these things and he just hoards them, takes them into his tent. And I wonder how many people in their lives have precious moments that they can never enjoy because they have so much stuff that they can't take and enjoy the simple things of God because they're so stressed out. Folks, God did not save you. Jesus Christ did not come to this earth to live and to die, to have you stressed out because we're hoarding things. That's what I like to call the illusion of the buried life. You see, the illusion of the buried life is right here. Do not store up yourself treasures on earth. I don't want to store up for myself things that I'm going to end up burying. Look at verse 27. Look at verse 21 in Joshua. It says that Achan took this stuff. He grabbed this. Now, I don't know about you. I know gold. If I saw a gold bar that weighed 50 shekels, if I saw a gold bar that weighed 5 pounds, I know on the market today that gold is about $1,300 an ounce. What? And I believe there's 16 ounces in a pound. And there's a lot of pounds in a shekel. And there's 50 shekels. If you saw 50 pounds of gold, it'd be real easy to take that. And he sees this beautiful robe and all these pieces of silver. And he grabs them. And you know what he does with them? He takes them home and he buries them in the ground. That's what I like to call the illusion of the buried life. We live in America where people have an illusion of a buried life. Here it is. I have things. I've taken things that I shouldn't have to enjoy things that I couldn't have. We live in a world where Achans are happening all around the corner. We are taking things we shouldn't have to enjoy things we couldn't have. Oh yeah, I've got all the toys, but you should see my debt. I've got the nicest car with the spinner wheels, but you should see how much this is costing me. Oh, my aching back. Folks, let me take it off your hands. It's the least I... No, I don't want your car payments. And I don't want your credit cards. But we live in a world that has the illusion of the buried life. The buried life is this. We take it all and we bury it in the ground. And this man had it all and he couldn't spend a dime of it. He couldn't, let me say it this way. He couldn't enjoy one moment wearing that robe. Someone's going to know. And how many of us have gotten ourselves into a position where we bought into the buried life? And here's the buried life. We work so hard, oh my aching back. We spend our whole life acquiring things that really might not matter. If we looked around at all the things that we work so hard for, the buried life is this. One day, you're going to get buried. And my question is, what would you like buried in that coffin with you? Because as a pastor, I have done a lot of strange funerals. What would you like in there? And I've seen some strange things put in people's caskets. And I'm thinking to myself, why? It's like Ann Landers. Does anybody know who Ann Landers is in here? Oh, good. How many of you remember Ann Landers? Oh, good. She was a columnist, sister of, I think, Dear Abby. Right? Okay, we're good? Because a lot of the young people have no idea. It's a news article column this lady would write. And somebody wrote, true story, this happened. Ann Landers had an interesting column. It was from a girl who was writing about her uncle and aunt. She said, my uncle is the tightest man I've ever known. All of his life, every time he got paid, he took $20 out of his paycheck and he put it under his mattress. 20 after 20 after 20. Now, I don't know that that sounds stingy or tight, but then he got sick and was about to die. As he was dying, he said to his wife, I want you to promise me one thing. Promise what? She asked. I want you to promise me that when I'm dead, you'll take my money from under the mattress and put it in my casket so I can take it all with me. We live in the illusion of the buried life. There are people who think, I'm going to acquire all this stuff. Can I tell you, you can acquire all you want. You're going to leave it to someone. Stranger or not, you're going to leave it to someone. You see, in my life, well, you got to hear the rest of the story. This is great. So the wife, what do you think she did? The story went on. He died and his wife kept her promise. She went, got all the money that was under that bed. She took it to the bank. She deposited it. She wrote out a check and she put it in his casket. That's one smart woman on two accounts. One, she outlived him. And two, she got it all. We live in a world of buried, the illusion of the buried life. People that say, I'm going to work this all this stuff to get things that may not matter in eternity. And I love it. Jesus says, stop hoarding. Store up for yourself treasures not on this earth. You see, I don't know if you're aware, in Revelation chapter 20, The Bible says and goes on into chapter 21. It says, when you go to heaven, there are going to be many books opened up. And in those books, they're going to find every good deed, every righteous thing that you ever did for the Lord. Everything that you did when you fed the hungry, when you did something nice, when good words started coming out of your mouth to really change someone's day. Everything that you do, the Bible says you will be rewarded in heaven. And you're thinking to yourself, well, what good is that? Well, let me tell you how good it is. People are working, their aching back for stuff here to bury into a ground and maybe enjoy for less than 7 years, because by the time you get out of high school and get going, you're 20. And by the time you get old enough to enjoy it, you can't enjoy it. So you got about 40 years in there to say, I'm enjoying this. Can I tell you something? After my first 100 trillion billion years in heaven, I plan on taking a vacation. And what are you going to do in heaven? I believe that every righteous thing that we do, God is going to reward. And there are groves after groves and orchards after orchards of fruit that you've never tasted. God has prepared meals and foods that are delectable that you can't even imagine. You say, is that true? Absolutely. The Bible absolutely records that. And I believe Jesus who spoke about it. There are rivers and oceans and waterways in heaven, very clearly described in Scripture. There are rubies and pearls and diamonds. In fact, there is stuff up there that you can't even imagine, that the Bible says the streets are paved not with blacktop, but with gold. You're burying gold at $1,300 an ounce, and God says, we pave our streets with that junk. There are things in heaven that I'm trying to earn and work towards, because I know this. I'm working towards a glory and a mansion in heaven that rust and moth can't wear that car out. I'm working towards some food that I've never eaten at Red Lobster. I'm working towards an ocean and a backyard view with the number one golf hole right off of my patio at about a 1,000-yard clip. Into the most beautiful, pristine green you've ever seen. Grab your clubs and come on over. I've got a tea time. You say, how do you know these things? Because the Apostle Paul said, I know a man who died and went to the third heaven. He's speaking about himself, but he's too humble to mention that. And he said, while he was in the third heaven, he saw things that were too indescribable for a man to even talk about. In other words, I saw things in heaven that, folks, you got to be kidding me. I'm on my way there. I can't. No wonder why the Apostle Paul had no problem saying, go ahead and kill me. I can't wait. For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Have we forgotten that Christ came to this earth that was created in 6 days, died for us to renew our lives, and He's been working on a heaven for 2,000 years. Folks, as Keith Green, the old singer, used to say, if He made this in 6 days, and He's been working on that for 2,000 years, we're living in the garbage can. I want to tell you about precious moments. Let me take this stuff off your hands. It's the least I can do. Oh, my aching back. Let's not work towards what we're burying in the ground. Let's not live in that illusion. Let's start walking in a place where we just start going, God, all I have is Yours. Because here's the second one. I love this verse. It's Philippians 4:19. The Apostle Paul writes this. He said, and my God... No, we need to say this together. Would you read this together with me? And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Now, if I were you, and I had a Bible, a pen, or a notebook in my hand, I would do three things. Number one, I would write down my God. Not my government, not my boss, not my employer, not my church, but my God supplies all my needs. I think when we start getting into that, it's a whole different mindset. Where's my next check coming from? By the looks of things, folks, it doesn't look like we're starving in this room. I'll bet that your God supplies all your needs according to His glorious riches. The first thing I'd write down is my God, because I know where my source comes from. My source doesn't come from the paycheck. My source doesn't even come from this church. In fact, I have to say this. I am incredibly blown away this morning at how packed this is. I thought everybody came to first service. It was extremely packed in first service. And I'm thinking, where are you guys coming from? Because I understand my God. 4.5 years ago, when my God said to my wife and I, after 3 months of sitting around praying, what were we going to do? We have a mortgage, we have a car payment, we have medical bills, we have 5 children, and we're just sitting, waiting upon the Lord. And He said, in the middle of all that, don't take the church in Florida, don't take the church in Chicago, don't take the church down in Tennessee, start a church. And I said, with what? He said, with my God. And so we started a church. I said, okay, what would you like us to do? He said, I want you to step up, step in, step up, and step out. You just start a church. You let me worry about the rest. And I've known this after 25 years of ministry, that if God says it, I can trust my God. I didn't have a paycheck. I didn't have any understanding. I didn't have people. I had 5 wonderful couples in our home group that are just tremendous people. And they said, go for it. We're with you. Said, what are we going to do? They said, we're going to go meet somewhere. Said, where are we going to meet? And God says, go meet in that bar. And so we mopped up the beer every Saturday night. And we had service every Sunday morning. Because my God, and here it is, will meet all. Everyone say all. Turn to your neighbor and say, my God will meet all your needs. Because here it is. We have forgotten. Some of us write this down. I think what God really means is, my God will meet a couple, some, part. He'll meet me halfway. My God doesn't meet me halfway. I can't get halfway. I can't get part of the way. My God comes all the way and meets all of my needs. He meets every single need in my life. He has never failed me. He has never forsaken me. He has never abandoned me. Even when I've fallen, even when I've rejected, even when I've done stupid things, even when I've blown it, even when I've just absolutely been not the person that God wanted me to be, God came along and He said, it is His goodness that leads us to repentance. God was loving me into His kingdom. God was showing me His favor and bringing me to His heart. You see, God doesn't beat you over the head with a stick. That's what the preachers do. That's what your spouse does. Those who try to motivate you with the guilt. Those who try to motivate you with the sword. My God has loved me so deeply. I am so undeserving of His grace. And yet my God will meet all of my needs according, and here it is, His glorious riches. Think about that. God has glorious riches. I love His glorious riches. He took me, a sinner, and He changed my life. He took me, a drug addict, and He changed my life. He took me, a shy person in front of crowds, and made me a preacher of all things. He took me, someone who had no confidence whatsoever. It's so funny. There's a gal. Her and her husband have been married 55 years. They're in first service. She came and she goes, Pastor, I have to tell you something, but I've really restrained from saying it to you. I have really enjoyed your preaching, but I don't want it to go to your head. She goes, I know it's the Lord. And I said, oh, it's absolutely the Lord. I tell you in a heartbeat, it is Christ who brings the Word alive and not a man. See, any man can give a speech, but it's only Christ who can move people in their hearts. You see, when Christ came into my life, I was the least. I was not the guy that was going to be the preacher. It's funny, now I look for those rebellious, young, wild-eyed kids and go, they'll make a great speaker, they'll make a great preacher, they'll make a great missionary. It's amazing what God can take and what He can turn them into. You see, because my God can meet all of my needs according to His glorious riches. And I'm thinking, what are His glorious riches? Well, He's given me grace. He took me out of the miry clay and He set my feet on the rock to stay. Hallelujah. God has saved me. That's His glorious riches. The blood of Christ wiped away all my sins. Where I had no confidence, I now have confidence in Him. Where I had no grace, I have complete forgiveness in Him. Where I had no life, He's given me a life. Where I had an empty heart, He gave me a full heart. Where I had the desire to have a godly wife, He gave me a godly. Where I wanted children and a family, He gave me five precious, wonderful children. Where God called me. You see, when the Lord moves, you got to look at this and say, and my God will meet you, all of your needs, according to His riches. Achan, I don't understand this. Achan had it all. Think about this. You have to look in your verse. It's in verse 5. There's a little thing tucked away here that most people would just read and go, oh, no big deal. 36 people died that day. 36 people died. Probably doesn't mean anything to many people. No one had died in a war. So this means a lot. You see, God was their God. And when your God is God, He gives you victory over your enemies. They weren't used to people dying. That's why this was such a big deal. That's why Joshua, the greatest warrior that history has ever recorded. You talk to the Muslims, you talk to the Turks, you talk to anyone in the Middle East. They'll tell you all about Joshua. They still talk about his name. One of the greatest warriors that ever lived. You read Patton's book, one of the greatest generals of our day, of our time. And he'll tell you about Joshua, who was his hero. A great one. What caused him to say, God, we should have just stayed over there? He had never lost a soldier. And because of a hoarder who forgot that my God will supply, he said, no, God, you're not going to supply anymore. I know you've given me manna. I know you've given me quail. I know you give me rivers of life, of water out of a rock when I'm thirsty. I know my clothes don't wear out. I know not a man has died in a battle. But you know what? It's my turn with my two hands, and I'm going to take. And the minute we start saying in our mind, it's mine, is where we begin to lose the victory of God in our lives. God wants to do greater things. Let it go. Can I take it off your hands? It's the least I can do. You see, when God moves in it, it changes everything. He had victory over his enemies. John Wesley understood this when he did this. John Wesley was a preacher in the 1500s. He made 30 pounds a year as a preacher his first year. He found out something. He could live on 26. He gave 4 pounds to the Lord. By the way, that's more than 10%. The next year, as a pastor, he was doing so well, they gave him 60 pounds. He found out something. He could still live on 26 pounds. And so he lived on 26 pounds and gave it all away. He became the first preacher to make, in 1 year, $1.5 million in the transition of pounds. He made over $30 million as a preacher. And you know what he lived on? 26 pounds, and he gave it all away. At the end of his life, he said this. He said, you may print, if I am found to die with more than 10 pounds to my possessions, you may print that I was a thief and a robber of God. He single-handedly helped stop slavery, alcoholism, and a revolution, a revolt, a civil war in Europe by traveling 500,000 miles on the back of a donkey between Bristol, Newcastle, and London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was a man who gave it away. My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches. And he brought his glorious riches and said, now there's a man I can give millions to because I know he knows one thing. It ain't his. And he blesses that. And he changes that. Last year, we were doing reverse Christmas. It blows my mind that we fed over 5,000 people last year and gave 1,000 children toys. 1,082 children. Last year, I remember when the team came to me and they said, we would love to give meat away. There's no meat. Meat is very hard. And we talked about it. We prayed and said, wouldn't it be great to give everybody a ham or a turkey in those boxes for the families? It would just be great to do that. And out of the blue, 3,000 pieces of meat showed up. Out of the blue, 3,000 pieces of meat showed up. Okay. I was wondering if you guys were awake. Maybe you don't understand that. You go down and buy a ham for $20. We got 3,000 of them for free. Why? Because my God shall supply all of your needs according to His glorious riches. This year, I sat down Monday after Judgment House and after we raised, before expenses, about $25,000 which was pretty awesome, youth and adults. There you go. We paid off all of our bills, and then we sat down and said, reverse Christmas, here you go, here's $3,000. As we sat down with the directors of that Monday, she said, wow, $3,000, we could buy a lot of toys with this. Yes, we can. What do we need? What do we need to do about food trucks? Last year we had 1.5 semis of food trucks. What are we going to do? And a gal stopped by and she goes, hey, Pastor, just so you know, this year we already have 3.5 semis coming. I said, how much? 3.5, over 100,000 pounds. I said, that's going to feed more than 10,000 people. What are we going to do with this money? And they said, well, we can get toiletries, we can get this, and we can get a lot of toys. Maybe we can give twice as many kids toys. I don't know, but all right, get ready. There's a tsunami coming. And said, the only thing is, we don't have any meat. I said, well, use some of the money and buy meat. We can't buy meat. When you go over to Flint and all these grocery stores, Myers and Kroger's and everybody, given their expired date, it's still good. They just can't legally sell it. We can't get meat. There's no meat there. The gal walking by that oversees this stuff, she comes by and she goes, Pastor, hey, just to let you know, by the way, we have more meat coming this year than we had last year. You see, my God will supply all of your needs. You see, when you give it away, you can't give it away fast enough. Because God says, when you get that mentality that says, it's not mine. It's like the little boy that walked into McDonald's with his dad. His dad said, what would you like? He says, I want some French fries. He says, okay, I'm going to get you some French fries. So he goes up and he buys his kid some French fries. They go to sit down. As they're sitting there talking, the dad didn't order any fries. He did what most dads do. He reaches over and says, hey, can I have a fry? And he reaches to grab a fry and his son goes, those are my fries. And the dad thought, what did you just, slap my hand. My fries. They're my fries. The dad said, no, they're my fries. I just got them for you. They're my fries. It's my paycheck, God. It's my car. It's my house. Can I tell you something? When God reaches down and says, I don't need, what am I going to do? What am I going to do with a car that's rusting in Michigan? What am I going to do with a house that's underwater? What am I going to do with a house that's paid off? What am I going to do? I don't need these things. What I need is your heart. I want to know that you understand not my fries, but my God. When you understand my God, it changes everything. You see, if you slap the hand of God when they start talking about it, you slap the hand of God, God says, you know what? Fine. You start finding your own fries. And then people start wondering, why isn't God touching my life? Why is it? Well, the Bible says, right here very clearly, it says, go consecrate yourself, the people. Tell them, consecrate yourself. This is what the Lord says. You cannot stand against your enemies until you remove it. What do you got to remove? You got to remove the thinking, my fries. Those are not my fries. I have life. It's not my life. God gave it to me. I have oxygen. It is not my oxygen. My God supplies all of my needs. I have gravity. It is not my gravity. I have life because God's given me life. When we get that understanding, it changes everything. The last verse is this, and I close with this. I love this. In Luke, the Bible says in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, give and it will be given unto you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together and running over will be poured into your lap. Now, I don't know about you. You can take this scripture and you can throw it away, or you can take the words of Jesus himself who says, give is better than receive. To give is better. It's more blessed to do that than to receive. You will never outgive God. You cannot outgive God. My wife and I, we've been in a situation where we just want to be faithful to the Lord. We walked into this church, and I said, when God says, get out of the bar, go find another place. You're not going to fit into the bar. Glad to have you guys here. We would not fit in the bar this morning. We're barely fitting in here this morning. By the way, next week, you come to 9 o'clock, it's okay, there's a little room left. My wife and I came out here, and this was, I mean, there were tiles falling out of the ceiling. There was junk piled everywhere. This was a warehouse of junk. And I met with the owner because God said, go out there. So we met with the owner. And the owner said, what would you like? I said, well, this is kind of a neat thing. I said, we got a church. We're looking for a place to meet. We got about 100, 140 folks. He said, okay, well, this is a building. I said, well, we could gut it out and clear it out. I said, but where would the offices be? We'd have a sanctuary, but we'd have no Sunday school classes, nursery. I said, what's in the... So we went out the doors. We went to the room next door. There were no doors here. And there was a couple classes in the lava lounge. Well, it wasn't quite like that. We moved walls. I said, well, that would be neat. We could meet there in our sanctuary in the lava lounge. We could pack everybody in. We'd have a couple classrooms or a nursery. I said, that might not work. It's awful small. We went to the next one. I said, what about this one? There were some offices in the children's wing. I said, well, we got the children's wing. That could be church. I said, sir, how much is it for one of these buildings? He says, it's, well, I can let you have it on a month-to-month basis for $3,000 a month for this room. I said, well, how much for the next one? He goes, well, if you want to use that one, it's $3,000 a month. But you can't be here very long. If you sign a long-term contract, it's going to cost you more like $4,000 or $5,000 a month. I said, we're paying $2,000 for a bar right now just on a Sunday morning that we have to clean. $3,000 would be pushing it. I said, but it's just not going to fit. And he showed us the next one. And the Lord said, just do it. Just go for it. I said, okay, Lord, you're in this. I said, sir, I want all three. He goes, what? I said, I want all three for 3 years. And I said, how much? He goes, well, it's going to be $3,000. I said, oh, I know it's $3,000 apiece. What will you give me for all three for 3 years? He says, no, $3,000. I said, all three? He said, $3,000 for 3 years. And tell you what, Pastor, I'll give you $25,000 to remodel. And my God will supply all of your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. See, when you give it away, you can't outgive God. Give, and it will be given. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, runs over. There was a pastor and his friend, young guys, like some of us, starting out in ministry, and he sat down with this guy and said, we're going to start a church. And he went to his best friend. His best friend said, hey, let's make a covenant together. And so these two guys sat down, they made a covenant. And they said, tell you what, let's always tithe here in this church in Dallas. True story. And so the two guys said, okay, we're going to tithe at this church. Well, they were young. And the one guy was making about $10,000 a year that first year. And so he tithed $1,000. Well, time went on. And then after a few years, he got a promotion. And he tithed $10,000 that year because he was making $100,000. And as time went on, a few years later, this is a true story. He tithed $100,000 because he was now making $1 million a year. Well, they had moved apart and his promotion to take him to another city. And he was tithing $600,000 every year because he was now making $6 million. And he called up his buddy because they lived apart. And he called up the pastor and said, Reverend, I need your help. He said, what? He goes, I'm having a hard time tithing $600,000 a year. He said, that's a lot of money. Can we stop the agreement, the covenant thing we had? And they'd gotten together. They were in person, excuse me. And he said, can we stop that? And the pastor, his best friend, after all these years, in the room when they were talking about, stopped and dropped just to his knees. And he started praying. And he kept praying. And he kept praying. And he kept praying. Finally, his buddy said, are you okay? Hey, excuse me. He says, I'm praying for you. He goes, oh, are you praying that God will let me out of this covenant? He says, no, I'm praying that God will adjust your income so you can give $1,000 a year again. And the guy's like, wait a minute. My fries. Those are my fries. Who had blessed him, shaken together, right into his lap? Well, it was God. You can't outgive God. I know guys who are millionaires right here in Lansing, in the Lansing area in Michigan, who in their hearts and their lives are making a lot of money, and they said their goal is to give 90% of everything that they have because they don't need it. It's not theirs. See, I don't live in the illusion of the buried life. A good measure,
2,000 years ago, a good measure was pressed down. He was shaken together, and he was poured out. And it poured right into our laps. Jesus Christ gave everything. A buried life rose from the dead. This morning, I invite you in to close with communion.